Yeah.
Para todo de no.
Welcome to another episode of Single Mommy Fabulous, where today we're going to talk about childhood grief and just how it presents itself and how you can be a support to your child when the time comes to support them, because unfortunately in life it will. Well, I guess I wanted to start by just talking a little bit about recent grief with my daughter so that it kind of gives a starting off point. My daughter had a cat friend who lived at her dad's house. And so one day the cat decides to try to jump a fence. And instead of being able to jump and do whatever, the cat actually hung itself. So, yeah, it was pretty brutal, poor baby. And so one of the things is my daughter is very sensitive about animals. I think she might be a veterinarian when she grows up. I'm not sure. But she started just wailing, like, and it was weird, you know, because I don't have that feeling towards animals. So it was just kind of like, wow, this is disproportionate. To me, it was disproportionate. But to her, it was a great loss. And that's one of the things that you, as a parent, have to recognize is that the way that they feel grief is very different from your way of feeling grief. And things that won't make you grieve could make them grieve. As crazy as it sounded to me, I went with her to buy flowers to put near the cat's grave in the backyard. To make sure that she got to say her goodbyes. And it didn't go so well on the dad end, but at least on the mom end, I was like, I will swallow my pride and swallow my thoughts, and I will go and buy some roses to put on a cat grave, which makes no sense to me, but that's fine. It's cool. It really is. So, Adrian, I know that this was one that you wanted to talk about. So, what brought this particular topic to your mind?
Well, it is near and dear. Kalia's father, my husband, passed away when she had just turned three. Helping her, you know, through her grief, like there's been many stages as she's been different ages. She's 11 now, almost 12, but it's been hard. And I know more now than I did, you know, when my son was little. When my son was three, my dad passed away. And so, you know, with him, that was a real struggle because I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea how to help. I had no idea that he could go to therapy. Like, I didn't know anything. And so, you know, when it happened, you know, with Kalia and her dad passing away, it was, you know, by trial and error, I had more tools, but still didn't know if any of them were right or if I was helping. But I think so. But yeah, so I think it's important to talk about, mainly because I think, obviously, as parents, you know, we want to shield our kids from bad things. You know, we don't want them to experience those things if we can help it. And we kind of try to cover and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to death, you can't really do that because it is so final, you know, and it's not something that can be explained away. It's one of the things that you really do have to legit tell the honest truth about at all times.
Yeah.
Because as they get older, they ask more questions, they understand more.
Right.
And they keep asking questions and they keep, you know, so it's so much better to just tell the truth at an age appropriate level from the beginning.
Yeah, I very much agree. It's for me, we started off with the fish. When the fish died, they weren't coming back. We're flushing them down the toilet because their life has ended. You know, this was at 2 to 3 years old, just saying, hey, you know, your fish passed away and they're not coming back. which is the only explanation that I could really give her that wasn't overwhelming. But, you know, and of course she asks, oh, are they going to start swimming when they get down? No, but it's, you know, it's important to ask and answer the questions and not give them false information, in the sense that learning to grieve healthily is not that easy. I mean, we all grieve differently. Some of us it's easy, some of us it's hard, but to have a healthy way to grieve, I found is challenging. Like, it's really, really challenging. And I can't even imagine for little people like Isaiah being three. Well, I never lost anyone that early. I don't know how I would have felt at that time or what reactions I would have even had to that type of trauma.
Yeah. And it was a traumatic, you know, experience for both of them, you know, and the thing that was similar with both of them was, you know, they both had just these random tantrums. And at first it was hard to place because they were three, you know, three-year-olds have tantrums anyway, you know, but they were a little bit different in that, like, the nature of the screaming was different, you know, like it sounded more painful, you know, than just like a regular tantrum. So that was very similar. And they both asked a lot of questions. Kalia, it took her a little bit longer to kind of like understand what was happening. Like, she didn't really connect the dots right away. You know, I waited. She had been gone about 2 weeks before I told her. Because I didn't know how to tell her. And I kept getting advice saying, you know, that I shouldn't tell her. And I'm like, well, she's going to notice at some point that he's not coming around. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not good advice. Yeah. And so I didn't really know how to tell her. And so I waited. And then when I did, she didn't really know what it meant until she kept asking, like, okay, well, where's daddy? And then I had to keep saying it over and over again, daddy died. Okay, but where's daddy? You know, and it's just like, I had to keep saying it. And then she's like, okay, well, what does died mean? And I'm like, okay. But I'm like, okay, now how am I going to explain that? You know? And so anyway, so, you know, we kind of got through that part of it. And then it seemed like it was nothing. And she went on about her life. And she was her regular self. And then maybe, so he passed away in February that year. So around June-ish, May, June, all of a sudden, you know, she had really bad separation anxiety. Every time I would go towards the door, she would freak out and just be like, mommy, don't leave. And I'd be like, why? What's the matter? You know, she's like, because if you leave, you're not ever going to come back, you know, and then it's just like, oh, gosh, okay. So then it's like that kind of stuff. And that was really the worst of it. Like, she had separation anxiety for like a couple years after, and she still does have it a little, but I think it's way more manageable now, and she can self-manage, you know, somewhat, but it just was so intense. And my son was the same way. He had separation anxiety, but it wasn't as bad, but it was pretty bad, you know. And it's just, oh gosh, it was so rough, you know. And with Kalia, I did take advantage of therapy. She did do therapy the first time for about a year, and that helped a lot, because they helped her to understand that, okay, you know, just because this person like walks out of the door or walks out of the room or goes around the corner, you know, doesn't mean anything. So we had to do like little exercises so that she could see, you know, like she'd be in the living room and I'd go in the bath, you know, and then I would peek my head around the corner and then she could see I'm not in the room with you, but I'm here. You know, like I've gone away, but I haven't like disappeared, you know, so we had to work through that. And it just was a lot. It was a lot. And it was really hard to explain it in a way that she could kind of understand. That was the hardest part.
Yeah. And I think for a lot of adults, when you were talking about the advice you got, a lot of adults think we shouldn't trouble our children, quote unquote, grown up things. However, this is the circle of life. We're born, we live, we die. This is not something that changes. Nope. None of us are ascending to heaven anymore, out of the blue. So, right. You know, so right. There's a process here. And I think that it's important. I mean, I can't, that's a struggle. I know that when Kalia's father passed away, I was always like, I should probably say something to her. And I know as an adult, I was kind of like, yeah, no, I'm not saying nothing, because I didn't know what that would trigger as far as her reaction. And even to say I'm sorry was like for your was a little bit hard for and not that that was not what I was feeling, it was that just not knowing if that was the right thing to do. And you know, as I'm sitting here listening, well, the right thing to do was to let her know you were thinking of her. It didn't have to necessarily be, hey, I'm sorry your dad died, but you know, how are you feeling? How are things going?
Yeah, and that's something that I learned too along the way, was making sure that, or learning that she needed to have a space to be able to like name her feelings. Because, you know, Kalia is naturally a stuffer. And so it was like she would go, well, not when she was that little, but when she was more like 6, 7, 8, you know, when she started having more, oh my God. And then I think she was 7 when she asked like how he passed away. And it was just like, you know, how do I say that in a way, you know, like, where it would minimize like nightmares, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, you know, but when she got to like that age where she could like articulate feelings, at least even basic, like sad, happy, whatever, right? Like I had to learn that I had to give her, not just give her the space, but like get her to name her feelings and not just always say, you know, that she's sad, because yeah, sure you're sad. But there's got to be other stuff in there too. Like, let's just name them all, you know, let's just name them all. And that took a long time to, you know, get that together, you know. But, you know, she learned, and now she's, she's very vocal about how she feels all the time.
And therein lies the danger. No, I'm just kidding. It's not.
It's like, no, it's great, but it's like, okay.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah.
But when she was smaller, like 4 or whatever, I remember we made a picture book, and it had, you know, pictures of her and her dad. It had pictures of her dad's family, because we were living in California at the time and they were all from Georgia. So she didn't see them, you know. Matter of fact, she didn't see them for a while, you know, after the fact. So we made a little book. And so, you know, we called it her memory book. So then when she was feeling or sad or having any kind of feelings, you know, about her dad, you know, we would just go get the memory book, and then she'd look at the pictures, and I would tell her the stories about like what happened when the pictures were being taken, and at least the ones that I was there. And then, you know, just tell her stories, and then she would tell me stories, like stuff that she remembered, and then she'd be like sad, but she'd be okay, you know, enough to kind of like, you know, move forward. But
yeah,
this was a really long process. And, you know, just like with adults, you know, grief, it's not one of those things where it just smacks you all at once and then it goes away, right? Like it comes like in waves, you know, and you may not think of it for years. And then all of a sudden, you know, something happens and then you're right back, you know, to the beginning of the stage of the grief. So it's been that since, you know, and so,
losing a parent, I imagine it, especially when you're small, has to be really difficult for you to first comprehend, second to accept, and third to just live. Like, you know, we all have fantasies of, well, not all, but say, for instance, I'm just going to say a child of a divorced family. So we have those fantasies about our parents being together and the missing parent and da-da-da-da-da, but like that missing parent may still be alive. So there's like this opportunity to fulfill something. Whereas with a child who loses their parent and can't get that, you know, they can't remember what their voice sounded like or what it was like to hold their hand or sit on their lap or whatever else, which is comforting at times. Like you get this, oh, I remember the time, da 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 da, and you know, because their memories are shorter because of the age, right? It's not, so I can imagine that grief lasts a lot longer because it's such, childhood is such a long process, and add on to it that you're dealing with the loss of a parent, and I'm like, I don't know. She might be a rock star. I don't know, because I don't know if I could do it. So,
yeah, I mean, and then it's like another thing too that I think has happened. I can't say for sure. She may be able to articulate this as she gets a little older, but it was almost like it felt like she was disoriented. Mm-hmm. You know, like she didn't know. You know, and then she had a phase, I guess she was about eight, maybe, somewhere in there, where she just started having these feelings like she didn't know where she belonged, you know? And it's just like, yeah, I get that, you know? And so, yeah, and then, as she gets older, you know, in the very beginning, you know, she had a lot of memories, but like, as she gets older, she doesn't remember much. She remembers feelings. Yeah. She doesn't remember actual things happening, but she remembers like how she felt.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, oh yeah, that was the time, you know, you guys were roasting marshmallows in the fireplace. And then she's like, oh, like, okay, you know, but she doesn't remember the roasting.
I'm
saying she does remember.
Boy, Vey, I just, you know, I think in some senses, being able to even articulate feelings is good, like, but yeah, the fact that we lose our memory over time kind of sucks.
It does.
When you're talking about grief, right? Because at people that have been gone for 20, 30 years in my life, I don't remember what they look like anymore. And I don't remember how they sounded. And all I can remember, you know, I have bits and pieces of my grandmother died when I was 9. And I have bits and pieces of we were together my whole life. So up until she passed away. And so I have, you know, these moments, but I don't remember what she looks like. I don't remember what her voice sounds like. I do remember her sitting in a chair and rocking her knees back and forth because she was watching a horror movie, which I never understood why she watched them, because she's scared. I was like, lady, you don't make any sense at all.
Hey girl, come on.
You know, so yeah, I think that's important, like what you're doing. And that would be what I would advise, like that would be advice I would give to other parents who had children who are grieving, is fill in those blanks. If you have the memories that help them to process that feeling that they're having, then it's good, because even though they may not remember the exact thing that happened, like roasting the marshmallows in the fireplace, after you repeat it so many times, it becomes a memory. Yeah. Right? It becomes something that's part of that feeling, which helps them with that feeling, because you don't want it to be out of place for the rest of their life, right? Like,
no, you know. And also, like, another thing that really helped was, you know, thank God she was born like in this technological age, so we have video, you know, so it's like she can, you know, because with my son it wasn't like that. You know, my dad passed away a few months before September 11th.
Wow.
So it's like 20 years ago, right? And so we do have some video footage. We can't get to it because it's on like the VHS tape thing. So we have to send it to like be converted and all that kind of stuff. But we do have pictures. But, you know, when my son was grieving, you know, because they were like always together.
Yeah.
Him and my dad, like always together. you know, because my parents babysat him while I worked, you know. And so he always had Isaiah on his lap, or he would have him, you know, help him wash the car and like all kinds of stuff, you know. And so the only thing Isaiah remembered after like a few years was he just had a strong feeling about donuts, because my dad absolutely loved donuts. Like that was his favorite thing to eat.
Oh my God.
So he would always sneak Isaiah and you know, sneak donuts to Isaiah because he wasn't supposed to have them, but he would give them to him anyway. So he doesn't remember eating the donuts.
But he just are bad.
They're awful. But he remembers, like, you know, when he was like 10 or 11,
yeah,
you know, like we had gone to some donut shop and he just was like, I don't know why I feel so like happy right now, you know. He's like, something about the donuts. And I'm like, yeah, because your grandfather, da da da. He's like, is that what that's from? I'm like, I think so, you know. And but I didn't have anything to, like, you know, at least with Kalia, like there's videos on Facebook that I can just go to and be like, hey, you know. But even me, like, I don't remember my dad's voice. You know, and I was 23 when he died. I don't remember. You know, and that's another part of grieving, you know, like the guilt that you feel when you can't remember, you know. And it's like that was some of Kalia's journey too, where it's like she doesn't remember and then she feels like she should remember. And I keep telling her, like, there's no way that you would remember. You were too little, you know. So it's like you got to give yourself a break, man. But
just wait till you can't remember anything when you're 45. You'll be like, and that is terrible. I mean, we beat ourselves up. It's almost, you know, I'm glad that we were born in a time where we have pictures and we have some memories, because before, you know, like when my mom was little, there are people who pass away that she can't remember or can't see or won't see because they didn't have those kind of things. And I know that at times she grieves about things and you're like, huh. And it's just, I think that's the big takeaway. Grief is a lifelong journey, because you never know, like you've said, you never know when it's going to hit you again, right? You may hear their favorite song and you cry, right? Like, you're like, wait. And you may not even know that it's their favorite song,
right?
Or it's the anniversary. This happens to me a lot, the anniversary of their death. And my number one rule about grief, and I have rules of my own, my number one is never remember their death date. Do not put it in your memory. Do not express it. Do not celebrate it, nothing. Celebrate their birthday. Celebrate that they lived. Don't celebrate that they died. You can, you know, I'm fine. Every birthday, I can have a happy memory, right? Like, oh, yeah, I remember we had a cake, or, oh, my gosh, he would be dancing right now, or she would be dancing, you know, or we'd be watching a scary movie and my grandmother would be knocking her knees, you know, whatever it is. But I have this uncanny ability, because I've made this my rule, to get sad around the time significant deaths happen. And I don't recognize it until somebody in my family or my circle goes, remember when blah, 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 died? Shit. I've been trying not to remember this for 25 years. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and it's only something I do for me. You know, I don't know that it's going to work for anyone else, but for me, I would rather remember your life when you were living it. I don't want to celebrate your death. I don't want to remember your death. I don't want to, none of that stuff is important. I just want to remember you breathing. And I think that that might be a little weird. I don't know, but it's how I deal with it.
Well, I think it's important too, you know, because it's like, you know, the person, whoever it is, you know, they lived an entire life, right? So it's like, you don't want to dwell on that day when there's a whole life they had, you know, however many years, right? So, like, I know with us, you know, when, like, the sadness comes, you know, whether it's her and her dad or it's me and my dad, because I still grieve my dad and it's been 20 years, you know? But either way, we tell funny stories. We tell funny stories about them and like funny stuff they used to do or funny stuff that happened to them or to us and they laughed at us or something like that, you know what I mean? Like, we try to just tell funny stories. And then, you know, and then I do that with her. Like, if I'm feeling sad about my dad, and she'll ask me like, oh, what's wrong? And then I'll tell her like, I miss my dad right now, but, you know, let me tell you the story about that time that, you know, he thought he could dance, and we all laughed at him because it was hilarious. You know what I mean? Like, we just share those things. I think if I had to give advice to someone, you know, how to help their kid, I think the biggest thing that we learned over time was let them ask as many questions as they want and answer them honestly, because they're going to ask a lot of questions and they're going to ask the same question 50 million times over the years. So let them ask as much as they want, because, as they get older, like, they understand more. So then it's like, you know, like with Kalia at first, it was just like, okay, well, where did daddy go? Okay. So then it becomes, you know, what does it mean to die? Then it becomes, okay, so he died, but what happened? Then it becomes, okay, so that happened, but what does that mean? Then it's, you know what I mean? Like, it expands, you know, as they get older. And it's like, and I remember too, like, she asked me again, she was 10, I think, you know, she asked me again, like, okay, well, how did my dad die? And then it was just like, okay, now I can give her more information. I don't have to tell her the same answer I told her when she was 3. I can give her more, you know, and I can give her more. She still doesn't know the whole thing.
What do you mean?
Be quiet, Kalia. We're taping. But she knows enough for her age level, right? And so as she gets older, I'll tell her more, you know. But it's like they're gonna ask the same question in different ways over and over and over and over. Let them ask as much as they want and answer them truthfully every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think And we'll be putting up a really good article that talks about grief and how it progresses in different ages. And
yeah, it's really spot on. Like it's really dead on my skin.
I think my only suggestion is, if you can't handle your grief alone, don't.
Yes.
Don't do it. Don't do it. If your family's not there to help with the grief of your children or you or anyone else, always, always seek the help. Because just like this podcast, there are people out there with grief groups that don't have degrees and just want to talk about their experience and what helped them. And we always learn something from somebody else's story. Or you can go to a therapist because it's gotten to that level. Or you go to your pastor if you're a person of faith, or whomever your spiritual advisor is, because grief can consume you, and it can consume a child as well. And we're, you know, children's mental health is very fragile right now. I mean, it's amazing how children in our children's age range, like 5 to 12, are committing suicide because of mental health issues, right? And grief can become a mental health condition that is negative.
Absolutely.
And so we want to make sure that we are taking care of their needs too. And if we're grieving because this death involves ourselves, take care of yourself as well. Make sure that you're taking care of yourself and showing them that you can move on and you can move through and do it together, and be honest with each other of how you're going to move forward and do it together. And I think that you will find that children, and you should already know this, children are amazing healers. One, and I mean healing towards you, because you may be going through something with that grief that they end up helping you with, and vice versa.
It's so true. And I learned that the hard way with Isaiah, because I was not managing my grief for my dad, because I thought I had to put all that aside to help him. And I ended up having like a bit of a breakdown, maybe 7 years afterwards. And it was just, I'll never forget it, because it was so bizarre. But we were watching, my sister and I were watching Grey's Anatomy. And it was the episode, I believe, when George O'Malley's father died in the hospital.
Sad episode.
And so during that episode I had a whole meltdown, and I don't know how long I was crying or whatever, but I know that it was a long time. And you know, I just felt completely gutted afterwards, you know. And then my husband was still around. And he was just like, wow, like, maybe now you should, like, go deal with that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of a sign that I hadn't been dealing with it, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I made sure not to do that, you know, with Kalia. And it was hard, because then I felt guilty about, you know, mom guilt. Like, I'm taking time for myself while she's struggling, you know. And I didn't have a choice.
You can't be a good parent if you're not caring for yourself, and that's point blank, period, not even an opinion. If you're not taking care of yourself, you're definitely not taking care of anyone else. I don't care who they are, you're not doing it well. So,
but you know, it's a lifelong lesson.
Oh my gosh.
It's a lifelong lesson, because we're conditioned.
We are conditioned.
You know, so
we're conditioned to believe we are to be superheroes to everyone all the time, and we don't take days off, and we don't get sick, and we don't get sad, and we don't need to get our toenails done, and we don't, you know, I mean, like, everything, everything, and, yeah, that's a whole nother episode of,
that's another episode,
you know, how to be a mom and love yourself.
Yeah.
Like it's
without important. Guilt.
Without guilt. Because you know what? Sheesh. I'm getting better with the guilt thing. I'm like, even though this one guilts me like crazy, but I'm cool.
Oh, they try it every day, including
every
Sunday.
Day, right. You're so mean you won't buy me Robux. Go get a job, kid.
Seriously.
But just to wrap this up a little bit, it, you know, honestly, I think what I've learned, even taking away some of what Adrian has said, is teaching our children to grieve is important. Grieving with our children is important. And even more importantly, just to have an honest dialogue and check in on each other, because grief is hard for us all, you know?
Amen, sister.
Well, that's another episode, folks, and we'll see you next time with more exciting conversations. I think I'm losing my mind here.
We won't be Debbie Downers next time.
Yeah, we won't be such Debbie Downers, but you know, this is an important topic. Next, we'll go back to dating at some point. And
oh, we have to. This.
Yes. So
I have your stories.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Well, until next time, stay fabulous.
Stay fabulous.